Okay. Okay. Hello, everyone. My goal for today is Bezrat Hashem to completely transform your lives. Okay, whatever. That's the goal for today. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a very famous speech, and I want to put it in context. A lot of life is about putting things in context. As we go through our lives, the Torah gives us context and meaning to our lives, and keeping halacha. So it's a famous speech that he gave, and there's 10 minutes that's very famous, partially because it's on YU Torah, because I put it there, this 10 minute part, and Bezrat Hashem will get there. The title of today's shmooze is called The March of Centuries. And that's the phrase that Rav Soloveitchik would often use, and he used it in this speech as well. And it's a powerful phrase, and I want to explain what it means. The Rav started with two questions. One question is that in Parshios Vayigash and Vayichi, Yaakov is in the Chumash, in the Medrash, is often referred to as an old man, a zaken. An old man. He wasn't so old. Why is there this emphasis on being a zaken? Question one. Question two the Rav asked is, you know, the name of the Jewish people is called Bnei Yisrael, Beis Yaakov. We took Yaakov's name as our name. Why Yaakov's name? Why not Avram and Yitzchak? Why don't we have their name? Now there's an obvious answer to that question. And the answer is that Avram, not all of his kids were Jewish. So if we call ourselves Bnei Avram, it's not really fully accurate. And Yitzchak's kids weren't all Jewish. And Yaakov's kids were all Jewish, so there's an obvious answer. So that's good, there's an obvious answer. But the Rav wanted to give also a deeper answer to that question as well. So to answer these questions and to develop the theme, so the Rav said the following idea. He said there was one way that Yaakov surpassed the other Ravos. He went beyond the other Ravos. And that was, Yaakov had a long, complete, full Rebbe Talmud relationship with his grandfather. Long, complete, full Rebbe Talmud relationship with his grandchildren. He taught Menashe and Ephraim. For those 17 years, the Medrash says he taught Menashe and Ephraim. Yaakov became their primary Rebbe, their primary, here's the term, Baal Mesora. It's true, the Medrash says that Avram learned with Yaakov when he was little, Yaakov and Esav, till they were bar mitzvah or 15. That's true. But it's clear Yaakov's primary Rebbe was Yitzchak. It wasn't Avram. But by Yaakov, Menashe and Ephraim became the primary Rebbe to such an extent that Yaakov does something startling in Parshas Vayechi. Startling. Yaakov makes Menashe and Ephraim into his children. He says, Menachem, Keruvein v'Shimon Yehuli. They became Shvatim. They weren't his kids. They were his grandim into Shvatim. They got two portions in Eretz Yisrael. It's very striking. Chazal say in some halachic contexts, Bnei Banim Harehim Kebanim. One of the Midrashim says this pasuk is the source that your grandkids can be like your kids because Yaakov made them into his own children. It's an amazing pasuk. We take it for granted. He made them into his kids. In other words, Yaakov Avinu experienced the Mesora fully, not only for one generation, but for two. Yaakov Avinu experienced the Mesora fully, not only for one generation, but for two. So of all the Avos, Yaakov symbolizes the idea of the Mesora the most. So the Rav said that might be why we're called Bnei Yisrael. Because that's the essence of Yahadus. The essence of Yahadus is we all have this big Mesora. We get it from our parents, grandparents, teachers, Rebbeim. Our job is to absorb this Mesora, learn it, keep it, cherish it, and then pass it on to the next generation. That's what Yahadus is about. Yahadus is about holding on to this Mesora. Our job is to hold on and then pass it on to the next generation. So that's why the name of the Jewish people is, we are the children of the Mesora. And of all the Avos, Yaakov symbolizes the Masorah the most. Of course, all the Avos symbolize Masorah, but Yaakov is the most, because Yaakov had it not only for one generation, but for two. And then the Rav said, and that might be why he's called a Zaken, because it's hard to be a Baal Masorah to your grandchildren. They're so much younger, different world. You know, I still use this, you know, when this, you know, I have a date book and this. People nowadays, you know, use the whatever, you know, use these things and put all your messages here. And, you know, I remember what it meant to write a letter. If you go to a museum, you'll see an envelope with letters. You fold it over, you tuck it into the envelope. These envelopes, I used to write letters to my mother. Anyway, so you guys, letters, email letters. Anyway. So it's hard to connect to your grandchildren. Different generation, different world. It's hard to do that. The Medrash is emphasizing, and this is a beautiful pshat, that even as an old man, Yaakov was experiencing the... He was a Zaken, he was old. He bridged, the Rav said, he bridged the generation gap. He was able to connect with his grandkids. That's hard to do. And he did it. And that's why the Medrash emphasizes he's an old man. Even as an old man, he was experiencing the Masorah. Oh. And then the Rav went on and described that he himself experienced something similar. The Rav gave this year in 1974. He was 71 years old. He was an old man. And when he gave shir, he was giving shir to 20-year-olds. So he was teaching kids who could have been his grandchildren. And the Rav went on and he said, see, once you're in the Masorah and teaching your kids and your grandkids, once you're in the Masorah, see, the Masorah is alive. It goes beyond the grandfather. You know, we have this body of Torah, attitudes, ideas, values, Torah. We have this massive Masorah. It goes back to the Achronim, to the Rishonim, Tanoim, the Amorayim. It's alive. We don't say, Abaye said. Rava says, Abaye holds. The Rambam says. It's like they're alive in front of us. That's Yadus. That, we'll get to this later, we are fully, fully connected with our past. And for us, the great Rishonim, the great Achronim, they're not dead. They're physically dead, but their ideals live on, their Torah lives on. So once you're in the Masorah, it's not just one generation or two. It goes back, literally, to Har Sinai, literally back to Mitzrayim. And the Rav, there's a phrase in a Mishnah called Mispar Hadoros. And the Rav used that phrase, the number of generations, and he explained this idea of Masorah, that we're connected to our past. It's around 10 minutes now. The Rav spoke a beautiful, very... My vocabulary is not as good as not like the Rav, so I don't have the right words to explain it. The Rav had a good vocabulary, very good English vocabulary, and like all the proper words. Spoke with a very heavy European accent, and the recording is not perfect quality, so it's hard to follow. But if you have the transcription in front of you, you can follow. This is a transcription of the 10 minutes we're going to listen to now. This is the Rav talking in 1970. He's 71 years old. Now, you'll see. It's a word-for-word transcription, including the mistakes. Now, this way you're following along. So, the first words are, as a matter of fact, I want to tell you, and please, don't misinterpret my words. I'm not trying to brag or to boast, very far from it. But what I've just said now, okay, so you're going to listen now. The first words are, as a matter of fact, you'll see, you'll get used to it right away. Again, it's a heavy European accent. It's very precise English. A heavy European accent, and the quality is good. I searched all over the internet. Pardon, Rock Torah. Well, this is Torah. To find the thing is the highest quality. This is the best one that I could find. And this is a 10-minute clip out of a 45-minute shiur that the Rav gave. You ready? Here we go.
I want to tell you please don't misinterpret my words. I'm not trying to brag or to boast, I mean, I'm very far from it. But whatever I said now is not just an idea. To me, it's an experience. Let me say that the secret of this progress of combining, uniting, merging many generations into one community that the status he achieves disappeared. Over years, play no role, centuries have no significance. Where generations are being trained, so to say, communicate with each other. I do experience every time I enter the classroom an issue. I've been a teacher for the last whenever I enter the classroom with his target, his boys, who could be as far as 80%, my grandchildren, I enter the classroom as an old man, a mom, with a wrinkled face and eyes reflecting fatigue and the sadness of old age. You have to be wise about that spirit, that sadness. It's not a strange sight. It's the melancholy of things I've never have remembered. Things will disappear, don't exist. Then I enter a classroom, I sit down, and opposite me, hands of boys, young boys, with dimming eyes, dimming faces, clear eyes, radiating the joy of being young. And always when I enter in a very pessimistic mood, I always enter the class in despair. And I ask myself, every time I enter the classroom, can there be a dialogue between an old teacher and young students? Between a rebbe in his Indian summer and boys enjoying the spring of their lives? I stand here. I don't know what the conclusion. Whenever I study here, the door opens, another old man passes and sits down. He is older than I am. Or if I'm really talking about that, he's older than I am. He is the grandfather of the man. His name is the Prime Minister, and without whom your ship can dominate nowadays. Then the door opens quietly again, and another old man comes in. He's older than the Prime. He lives in the 17th century. What's his name? Schaff Seitel, Mr. Famous Schaff. Who must be present when demons are being discussed when we study what we see out of the coming. But, and then more visitors show up. Some of the visitors lived in the 11th century, some in the 12th century, some in the 13th century, some lived in antiquity. Rabbi Akiva, Rashi, Rabbi Mutam, the Hayat, the Rashbo, more and more appear coming. Of course, what do? I introduce them to my pupils, and the dialogue commences. The Rambam says something, the Rambam disappears. Sometimes it's very nasty. Very far. How long did he use the second Bible? The body jumps up to defend the home of the third Bible. And the body is fresh, you know, he's very sour, he's always that fresh. So the one which he uses is improper, he uses improper language, so I correct him. And another body jumps up with a new idea, that I still smiles gently. I try to analyze what his own brain meant, and other brain intervenes. We call upon the Abometan to express his opinion, and suddenly, this impression of Gervaisius comes into existence. Gervaisius, young boys, 22, 23, 24 years of age, our boys are just 18 years old in my class. One generation, then my generation, then the generation of Abraham Dresden, then the generation of Shah, then the generation of the generation of Rashi, the generation of Rabbi Nutan, and then of the Islam. What about Rabbi Ibrahim? What about Rabbi Tigger? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yechon Misaka? All generations are my out. We all speak well language. But people are at such a hush and dwelling after him. We all chat, we all laugh, we all enjoy the company, and we all pursue one goal. We all are committed to a common vision, and we all operate in the same categories. There is Maseva collegiality, friendship, comradeship between old and young, between antiquity, middle ages, and modern times. The work is this unity of generations, this march of centuries, this conversation of generations, this dialogue between antiquity and present, will finally bring the redemption of the Jew. Let me tell you that at the conclusion of 3 times 4 hours, we are here with witness. I emerge young, animated, younger than my kids. We are tired, exhausted, some of them young. I feel happy. I have defeated oldness. I work young, less fatigued, less exhausted than my young kids. In a sort of community where generations meet, where hands, no matter how wrinkled and parchment dry in one hand is, and how soft and warm in the other hand is, shake, unite. And in a community where the great dialogue continues, and I was looking at the painting, as the team is speaking. I don't know whether he will be my question, but I wish to have him. But someone who will sit and teach the baby. And the baby is already a member of the community, of the faithless of our community. And I just decide how it's possible to establish communication with this baby.
Okay. Oh. Okay, so the baby, the context was, this was a Pidyon HaBen, 1974. I taught the baby's cousin, the name is Karasik. It's a family from Manhattan. And so here's what happened. So the Rebbe was invited to the Pidyon HaBen. It's on the board there. The baby's father was in the Rav Shir then, in the 1970s. The baby's grandfather, who was at the Pidyon HaBen, had been in the Rav Shir in the 1940s. And then the Rav said, and this gives the chills, that he has a letter at home. He said that when the baby's grandfather came to YU in the 40s, the grandfather's grandfather, that's this baby's great-great-grandfather, sent the Rav a letter saying, please keep an eye on my grandson for me, tell me how he's doing. So the Rav had a 5-generational connection to this baby at the Pidyon HaBen. He said he was in a nostalgic mood and he spoke about the Masorah. That was the Rav talking about the Masorah. You know, everyone needs chizuk, so this is my go-to 10 minutes for chizuk. I want to listen to something, taking a walk. For me, I don't know, for me personally, things I've ever read, when the Rav said, the Rashba smiles gently. So I'm sitting like, you know, in the Rav Shir, the Rashba's over there smiling in the Shir. It's like the most unbelievable, for me, unbelievable thing. The people in the Rav Shir experience this. Rav Shechter Shlita, my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita says, when the Rav was Nifta, he spoke about the Rav giving Shir. He said the Rav Shir was so alive and so labedic, and you felt it was so emistic. He said you felt like the Tanaim and Amoraim were in the room with you. That's what you felt like. Tosfos is there. Just what he said. Just like he said, Tosfos was here, and the Rashi, and they're fighting it out. They're all alive in the room. The Rav, most of his career, came to YU, came to New York, gave Shir in YU Tuesday, Wednesday, gave a Parsha Shir Tuesday night. We spoke about it. So he gave Shir Tuesday, Wednesday in YU. So Rav Shach said the joke was, Monday, Thursday, there's Kriyas HaTorah. Tuesday, Wednesday, there's Kabbalas HaTorah. That's the way the guys felt about the... About the Rav Shir. This idea the Rav felt like everyone's alive with him. He had it when he was a kid. There's a famous thing the Rav wrote. It's not on a recording, as far as I know. That the Rav wrote about who was his best friend when he was a kid. Who was his best friend? So who was the Rav's best friend as a kid? What does he say in his books? The Rambam. The Rambam was his best friend. The Rav would be supposed to be going to sleep. Rav Shachter said that they once were talking to the Rav about, you know, where'd you get your learning from? So once the Rav said, you know, when you're supposed to go to sleep and your parents don't know, so like, you know, you're reading under the covers. So the Rav did that. The Rav learned Minchas Chinuch. And Rav Shachter said, the Rav told us that I finished Minchas Chinuch before my bar mitzvah. So Rav Shachter says, and that's quite a feat, because you have to know Shas to understand the Minchas. You can't learn Minchas unless you know Shas with Rambam, basically. You can't. It's impossible. That's quite a feat, to learn Minchas, to finish the Minchas Chinuch by your bar mitzvah. That's what the Rav said once. So the Rav wasn't sleeping, he was learning Minchas Chinuch. So the Rav said, I was a kid, and young boy, 6, 7, 8 years old, and my father would give Shir in the living room to his Talmidim. And he would quote, and he mentioned the Rambam. And he would have kashas on the Rambam, questions against the Rambam. And the Rav said, I'm sitting in my bed, and I said, oh my gosh, the Rambam's in trouble. The Rambam's in trouble. My friend, the Rambam's, and who's going to help the Rambam? Only my father can help the Rambam. Then my father would think, and he'd start talking, he'd answer all of the kashas on the Rambam, and I was happy, then I would go to sleep. But sometimes, he says, my father couldn't answer the questions on the Rambam. And he would say, the Rambam shver. And the Rav said, I'd come running to my mother, Ima, I guess Yiddish, mommy, the Rambam Shver, what are we going to do? The Rambam Shver, there's no answer for the Rambam. And my mother would tell me, it's okay, maybe when you get older, answers for the Rambams that are Shver. The main thing in life is to try to learn Torah B'Simcha. Try to learn Torah B'Simcha. That's what the Rav writes. So the Rav had this connection with, like they were alive when he was a little boy. This is how the Rav lived. This is Yahadus. The Rav said another time, in Judaism, we have a full identification with our past, more than any other group out there. When you start the Seder, what do you say? Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. What does the words mean? We were slaves. We were slaves? We're sitting here, we were slaves? We were slaves. Use the first words before you do anything else, before you start talking. First, I'd explain, we were slaves. The first words of the Seder are Mesorah. We were slaves. It's all one big continuum. They're alive. The Mesorah is alive. A Jew looks to his past, full identification with the past. A Jew is supposed to look to his past to inspire the present to have a successful future. That's Yadus. You look to your past to inspire the present to have a successful future. Old is good. In Yahadus, old is good. If something was done the way it was done in the old days, that's good. We look back. And the more we look back, the better chance of succeeding for the future. The Rav has this phrase, the march of centuries. What a beautiful phrase. It's not about me and Beth. It's about there's a march of centuries. It began in Mitzrayim, and it's going to make it to Mashiach, but the march is going on. It's the march of centuries from Mitzrayim to Mashiach. That's the name of the Haggadah. That's it. The march of centuries. That's what Yahadus is all about. Starting from Mitzrayim up to Mashiach. The march is happening. The challenge is whether we and our kids and our grandkids, B'ezrat Hashem, are going to be on that march. That's the challenge of life, to make sure that we make decisions in life to stay on that march. You guys are part of this. You guys, you're part of this thing. Ravina Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva, he was in the Rav Shir for a year. He said he gained a lot from that. Well, he has a lot of good stories. Ravina has unlimited number of good stories about everything, but about the Rav Shir has good stories. Rav Korn Shlita was in the Rav Shir. Rav Hirshhorn Shlita was in the Rav Shir. So you guys have a direct connection back to this. When you hear this recording, this is you. You're in the two generations. You know, I gave a shir to a shir that I give the 10 generations from the Grua to Rav Korn. We go through from the Grua down to Rav Korn, you know, because the Rav, the Salvatics go back to the Grua in a couple of different ways to find Balazhiner. So the Salvatics go back to the Chaim Balazhiner was the Grua's greatest Talmud. So here in our yeshiva, 10 generations from the Grua to Rav Korn. The other Rebbeim here, all of them are Talmidim of the Rav's leading Talmidim. Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Schechter, Yibar Chaim, Rav Schechter, Rav Braunspiegel, Rav Schechter Shlita, Rav Braunspiegel Shlita, Rav Willick Shlita. Some of you guys next year, you're going to go to YU, you'll be in Rav Konigsberg Shir. Here's a Talmud of the Rav's closest, Rav Konigsberg, writes up the Rav's Shir, they're called Shirei HaRav. It's the best books on the Rav's Torah that goes out. He starts with, you have to start with Rav Schechter's notes. You start with Rav Schechter's notes, and then he adds in all the footnotes and all the details about it, and he's put out several already. They're very good. Rav Tzarfati Shlita. Rav Tzarfati is a very close Talmud of Rav Tversky Shlita, who is the Rav's grandson. It's all part of the. This is the march of centuries. This is Yadus. We're not so into changing so fast. The closer we Rav Wilg always says, Judaism is conservative with a small c. That means we're not so into changing things so fast. We're not so into changing. No rush to change things. The challenge of life is to make sure that we stay in this Masorah. Yeah, the Parsha of Vayechi talks about Yaakov's death. What's the name of the Parsha? Vayechi Yaakov. And he lived. When you're in the Masorah, even though you die physically, you keep on living. So it's beautiful that the Parsha of Yaakov's death, we always recall the Parsha and Yaakov lived. It's a nice Dvar Torah, it's very nice. It's a beautiful vort that for all generations, the story of Yaakov's death is remembered and Yaakov lived. Because Yaakov did live. Yaakov does live. This is Yahadus. You live on, and this is our challenge to, you keep the halacha. We have attitudes. We have values of how the Torah is supposed to approach something. Now, just for me, I don't know, what we do in my family is starting a couple years ago, an Erev Pesach, we all gather around, we listen to this recording, that's what we do. That's the new Ginsburg Erev Pesach custom. We all listen to, my kids know this by heart already, Baruch Hashem, more or less, I know by heart, they know more or less by heart, Baruch Hashem. And we listen to this because this, if you're able to make decisions in life, you stay plugged into this, then, Zat Hashem, you can live forever, like Yaakov Avinu. We'll close with a story, and, I heard this story on one of the Shlomo Karbach story tapes, and he said it much better with the thing and the music. I think it's in one of his books. It's a beautiful story. It goes as follows: Once the Kalina Rebbe said, "We're not davening in Kalin today. We're going to go to another town. We're not davening here today." So he gets on a wagon with a couple of wagons, 40 talmidim, and they're going town to town. Not here. Not next town. Next town. Now the story says it was mincha, and they're going to daven at midnight. So I have a hard time saying that. So we're going to change it to maariv. Okay, let's pretend it's maariv. Okay, and the story says mincha. It's hard for me to picture maariv, mincha at midnight. So maariv. So I'm making a slight adjustment in case you check me up later. Well, I'm going to make it maariv. So it's maariv. We're not davening here or there or there. They come to a town, daven maariv. They need a place to daven. 45, 50 people. So there's an inn in the town. There's an inn, and you know, and they ask the guy, "Can we use your grounds to daven?" So they knock on the door. This very old man walks out, and they say, "Can we use your place?" He goes, "Yeah, you'll daven here. You can pray here." Now the Karlin Chassidim, they yell when they daven, so they start davening. They're yelling and screaming, and it's very loud. It's like past midnight. Wakes up all the non-Jewish neighbors. They're so inspired. They come down and they start praying and they bring fruits to the Rebbe. It's this massive Kiddush Hashem here in the middle of nowhere, of this town, in the middle of nowhere. They're done half an hour. Now it's time to leave. They're going back to this. This is when the music starts with Shlomo Carpach. And as they're leaving, the Rebbe says to the old man, the innkeeper, he says, Nu, what do you have to tell me? And the innkeeper says, today is my 107th birthday. 100 years ago, on my 7th birthday, the Baal Shem Tov came here to daven with his Talmid. And they prayed, and they davened, and everyone came down, everyone davened. It was the most amazing experience. And as they were about to leave, the Baal Shem Tov put his holy hands on my little head, and he said, I'm giving you a blessing now. You're going to live a very long life. And when my Talmidim come here, when my students get here, tell them I was here before them. And 100 years later, they show up. So this is Yahadus. If we live our lives basically the same as our great-great-grandparents, we're going to be okay. If we live our lives exactly along the lines of our great-great-grandparents, we're going to be okay. We're going to survive. We're going to be in the march of centuries. We'll make it to Mashiach. That's the challenge, and it's a big challenge, because out there, everything's always, out there, new is better. In science, new is always better. You know, in 6 months, everything, all the old textbooks in science are changed in a couple of years. In Torah, in attitudes, in values, old is good. And the more we hold on to our past, the better chance we are to survive in the march of centuries from Mitzrayim to Mashiach. We'll stop here.